Bullet Club for life.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Strong Style Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Martinez. We are still talking G1. We're talking nights 17 and 18, which are the last two nights before the finals, as we find out in these two shows who will face off in the finals with a chance to main event Wrestle Kingdom 10 in the Tokyo Dome, January 4th, 2016. We have four guys, actually, it turned out there's five, as I found out after the recording the last time. Carl Anderson is still in the running, coming into the show. But we're going to talk about night 17 first. And in this one, it's down to two guys, it's AJ Styles or Hiroshi Tanahashi. One of these two men will go to the finals, but we had a very interesting card. Before we got to that main event, and this show took place on August 14th, and let's run through the card quickly. Our opening match, Satoshi Kojima, Tomoaki Hanma, Máscara Dorada, Carl, the Machine Gun Anderson, Máscara Dorada, Hanma, and Kojima are taking on Bullet Club, which consists of Carl, Machine Gun Anderson, Yujiro Takahashi, and Tama Tonga. You know, outside of maybe Michael Elgin, has anyone's stock risen higher than Tama Tonga's in this tournament, considering that he wasn't in the tournament? That's been incredible. As far as this match, Dorada, another guy who's had a great tournament, considering he wasn't involved in it, he was great here again as usual, but he falls victim to Tonga Tama's body scissor DDT. Two stars, good action, but nothing special. Then we get Michael Elgin, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly, collectively they are Red Dragon, as they take on the Young Bucks and Cody Hall of the Bullet Club. This was a great match. Everyone looked good here, including Cody Hall. But you knew Cody would be doing the job, and he did to a Elgin Revolution Bomb. Still, this was action-packed greatness. The Young Bucks are just amazing. Red Dragon's fantastic. Michael Elgin's on another planet right now. Three stars. Just a fantastic, fantastic six-man match. Our next match is another six-man. Yuji Nagata teams up with Manabu Nakanishi and Kushida. What a weird team. As they take on Hiroki Goto, Ricochet, and Captain New Japan. That might be a weirder team. The story of this was Kushida and Ricochet, as they have an upcoming showdown at the G1 Finals, and so they worked a little against here and teased that pretty well. In the end, Nagata picks up the win, and he makes his good friend Captain New Japan tap out to the seated armbar. Two stars. Shinsuke Nakamura, Tomohiro Ishii, and Kazushi Sakuraba, along with Yoshihashi, face Okada, that's right, chaos on both sides of this, Gato, and the Kingdom. I'm not sure I've ever seen chaos face each other in a tag match before, but of course they're building Nakamura Okada, but they're saving their best stuff for the next show. They did a little, but nothing serious. It was really nice to see Sakuraba back, and he gets the tap out on Gato with a Kimura. Two stars, wasn't really much to talk about here. Now to our G1 matches, which of course the first four are going to be really meaningless, but still some interesting matchups. First we get Doc Gallows, who has 2 points, versus Katsuyori Shibata with 8 points. Fast start by Shibata, but Doc starts to fire back. He hits a choke slam on the apron. Shibata does get a weird choke on Doc, but Gallows gets out of it hits a modified gut wrench suplex. Shibata hits a number of shoot style kicks. The Doc hits a sit out power bomb, gets a near fall, then hits the gallows pole. 1-2, no. Shibata counters into a triangle choke. Doc escapes it though, and as Shibata keeps charging him, and each time he charges, he gets met with a kick, a bicycle kick. Finally, he nails a super kick, and then hits the gallows pole. 1-2-3. What the heck? Shibata's lost 3 in a row to guys way under him on the card. This is very strange. 2.5 stars. Doc, it's funny. Doc working a lot better, I guess, when he knows he's going to win. Maybe he puts a little more effort in. I'm sure he's not the only guy like that. But it wasn't a bad match. Much better than most of Doc's matches on this tournament. Then we get Toru Yano versus Bad Luck Fale. Yano with 6 points. Fale with 10. And as I thought, Fale was really hot with Yano after what happened last show. And he continues to play with fire and antagonizing the Mammoth Giant whenever he gets a chance. Finally, Fale gets a hold of Yano, was really laying in some heavy blows. Yano taking a pounding, including some outside interference from Tamatanga. Fale then is about to give him the Bad Luck fall onto the announcer table. But Yano escapes, hits a double low blow on Fale and Tama, scoots in the ring. Fale, however, can't beat the count. Yano with a count out win. Oh my goodness. This was not a great match. 2 stars, and I'm probably being nice on that. And once again, giving Yano these victories. I think they're just doing this. They think this do this to make these guys look better than they really should look. Okay, our next match, Hiroyoshi Tenzan versus Tetsuya Naito. Tenzan with 4 points, Naito with 10. This starts out like every Naito match in G1 so far. He stalls, gets beat up, cuts the opponent off, then removes his outfit and controls the match. Oh, and I forgot, abuse referee. I mean, it's just like every Naito match in this thing. But Naito's really disrespecting Tenzan during this match, which of course is going to lead to Tenzan getting a rally, and he does. Obviously, there are some Mongolian chops involved. Tenzan hits an Anaconda Buster and keeps it locked as Naito taps out. This really makes zero sense. Why would you beat Naito with Tenzan? So, now, I know I said last week, if you're going to have Naito lose, why not have him lose to Tenzan, be the one to knock him out as he's this big favorite? Yes, I did say that. But you did have him lose last match. So you had him lose again. You're taking the steam off of right now as a very big heel in your company to throw Tenzan a bone. I hate this. I hate everything about this. This thing of Gato trying to make these guys who shouldn't have never been in the tournament try to get some like crap wins after the tournament's over. Just to build up the points so they don't look like they didn't belong when they didn't belong. I'm sorry. There's 20 guys in this tournament, and realistically, more than half of them really didn't have a chance to win. And stop trying to trick the audience by having Tenzan beat Naito, please. Tenzan beat Naito? Come on. But Yano beats Fale, which is not as crazy. But Shibata falls to Doc Gallows? Really? This is what we're doing now? I have an idea. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Gato, I love you guys. You're the best wrestling company in the world. But listen to me. This is how you fix this. Stop putting guys in the tournament that don't belong there. Instead of Tenzan, you could have put Tama Tonga. No one thinks Tonga was going to win, but he's a young up-and-coming guy. You can see him getting a couple of upset victories. It does something. That's a guy, Tenzan, who can barely move. Takahashi, okay, I hate Takahashi, but he's not as bad. But to put Tenzan in this tournament, Nagata, I'm not hating. Hanma, who you buried for who knows what reason. And actually, Kojima, I think Kojima should be in the tournament, even though we know he'll never win. But 10's answer to be in this tournament. This should be his last tournament. I don't want to see him in this next year. Fine, I know. Tenzin was there in the lean years. Tenzin helped carry his company when his company was doing really poorly. And he gets his respect for that. And if you want to give him some, you know, he's got the NWA title. I know that's not you're giving it to him, but he's got it. Have him defend the NWA title in the undercards against people and have him pin some of the undercard guys. I have no problem with that. Don't put him in the G1. He doesn't belong here. And then you have him go over somebody like Naito, who you're ready to push to the moon. But that stalls it. I'm really upset. I'm really upset. And believe me, I hate Naito, but it's a good hate. I hate his character because he's so frustrating, which makes him a great heel. I don't want to see him, though, lose to Tenzin. I want to see him get his butt kicked by Shibata or Tanahashi. I feel this loss makes absolutely, it hurts Naito and absolutely does nothing for Tenzin. Okay, let me get off my soapbox here. Kota Ibushi with 6 points versus Togi Makabe. Now, this was an interesting matchup to me. It's a shame it comes with both men eliminated. Togi comes in, he's got a heavily bandaged left thigh, and it's a bullseye for the quick kicks of Ibushi. Makabe tries to be a tough guy, telling him to keep kicking it. Kota obliges him, just kicking the hell out of his thigh. And Makabe then winds up hitting a lariat and a Northern Light suplex for a two count. But Kota comes back, hits a standing moonsault for a two count. Makabe gets Kota on the ropes, looks for the spider superplex, but then Ibushi lands on his feet. This guy's amazing. Couple of big kicks on Kota, then a phoenix splash, and Kota gets a big win for him. 3 stars, it was a very good match, and a big win for Kota as he finishes with 8 points. This was very good. It told a story, which I love. Not enough wrestling tells stories anymore. And this did, and that's a great plus. And I like, Kota, after winning the New Japan Cup, you know, I knew it was a long shot that they would give him this. And, 8 points, while not great, is respectable. And Makabe also finishing with 8 points. It's a respectable tournament showing. I wouldn't call it successful, but it's respectable. I mean, you were 1-4 out of 5. You know, you weren't pushed over, but you didn't have a great tournament. But you were there. You were there. Okay. Our next match. I lost my place in my notes when it's quickly up to the main event. This is what everybody came to see. Hiroshi Tanahashi, 12 points, versus AJ Styles, 12 points. The winner of this match gets 14 and moves on to the finals. And someone asked me, well, what if there's a draw and they both wind up at 13 and neither guy owns the victory over the other for the tiebreaker? What happens? Well, my answer to that is simple. I have no clue. I don't know what would happen if they had a tie. But let's see if that happens. For the first 5 minutes, we are witness to a very nice wrestling contest. Tanahashi gets an advantage. He starts working over AJ. Styles comes back, hitting a nice jumping knee drop. Styles is focused on attack on the left knee of Tanahashi. Tana hits a flying forearm, but he's immediately clutching at his knee. Tanahashi goes for a flying senton and misses. Styles goes to the apron to look for his flying forearm, but Tana has it scouted, shoves him off the ropes as he falls to the floor, hits a high fly flow out on the floor. There's a bridging German suplex for Tanahashi for a near fall. Tanahashi is also working a little bit on the knee of AJ. And I didn't see when. This might have been on the high fly flow, but Tanahashi has a bloody nose. Or it might have came from an elbow from AJ, I'm not sure. Tanahashi throws him in the corner. He goes for a corner splash, but AJ pulls red shoes in the way. Styles uses the opportunity to hit a low blow. Sets up for the Styles clash, but Tanahashi gives him a low blow. So both men are just rolling around the mat, holding their junk. Not a great visual. We get our strong style elbow battle. AJ then locks on the calf killer, but Tanahashi is just while screaming in agony, refusing to quit. But it looks bad for Hiroshi. But for some reason, AJ decides to try to retort the hole deeper. But that half second was what Tanahashi needed to lunge and get to the ropes. He gets the break. Styles winds up going for the Bloody Sunday. But Tanahashi counters that into a crossroads. Tanahashi then goes for a sling blade, but AJ counters it to a sit-out face plant. Now he nails the flying forearm. 1, 2, no. Tanahashi barely kicks out. Then Tanahashi fights out of an attempted Styles class. He winds up hitting a sling blade. Then he tries a Styles class of his own, but AJ counters it into an ankle lock. Tanahashi does escape and catches Styles in a bad position. Bam! Styles class by Tanahashi. Oh my god. 1, 2, no! I don't think I've ever seen anybody hit AJ with a Styles class. This stuff's incredible. Tanahashi races up. High fly flow, but now Styles' knees are up. AJ goes up, and he hits a fork splash. It's over. No, it's not. Tanahashi kicks out at 2. The crowd is completely going crazy at this point. Bloody Sunday by Styles. He wants the Styles class to wrap this up, but Tana counters with a double leg dive and a modified dragon screw. Tanahashi hits some strikes. AJ tries the Pele, but Tanahashi catches it and does another dragon screw. High fly flow with a standing AJ goes up once more and nails another. 1, 2, 3. Incredible match. Possibly the best of the G1. And definitely a match of the year candidate. 4.5 stars. To those that question if Tanahashi still has it, watch this match. He's not done. All he needed was a little time, which they gave him this year to try to heal up a little bit from nagging injuries. And I questioned why even have him in the working the feud with Yano. Why not let him call it, say that he was injured and let him sit out 2 or 3 months. Let's completely heal up. And I said, if I'm wrong, I'll say I was wrong. I was wrong because he's been incredible in this G1 and he's headed to the finals. But as far as the show overall, it's actually rather forgettable outside of the main event. And I guess the Young Bucks match from the undercard, which was also very good. So now, who will Tanahashi face? Let's find out as we go to night 18, taking place August 15th from Tokyo, Japan. Our opening match, Yohei Kamatsu teams up with Sho Tanaka versus Red Dragon. This is a pretty good match. Tanaka continuing to show that fire since he's come back. In the end, they pin Kamatsu after chasing the dragon. After the Bucks run into the ring and attack Red Dragon, setting up the match that they have at the finals. 2.5 stars. David Finlay and Jay White now team up as they face the Young Bucks. They actually came out to make the save when they were beating down Tanaka and Kamatsu as well as Red Dragon. And from right there, the match started with them two. And it was an interesting match, but it ends with the Bucks hitting the Indy Taker on Finlay. After the match, Red Dragon runs out to get revenge, but the Bucks hightail it out of there. 2 stars. Next, 10-man tag match. Toru Yano, Kazushi Sakuraba, Yoshihashi, and the Kingdom face Bullet Club, AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Cody Hall. You think of all these names I just said that this is going to be a great matchup. Well, it wasn't. Very blasé. Basically, the highlight is anything with Tama Tonga and Maria with her usual hotness as well. Yoshihashi winds up beating Cody once more with the Swanton. My God, how many times did he pin Cody Hall with that move in this tournament? Next match, another 10-man tag, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Togi Makabe, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Katsuyori Shibata, and Kushida. Team up to face Tetsuya Naito, Kota Ibushi, Manabu Nakanishi, Captain New Japan, and Ricochet. And basically, this match sucked. Not even Ricochet could save this match. It ends with Tanahashi beating Captain New Japan with the high fly flow. 1 star. It just was a big mess. Naito, I don't know if they got into the match, but still was like a major part of what was going on. As Tenzan and a few others really hate him and target him. But I don't think he officially got in a match. Ricochet and Kushida did a couple of okay spots, but overall, this was not a good match at all. All right, it's time for our G1 matches. And like I said, coming into this, 3 guys have a chance. Shinsuke Nakamura, Carl Anderson, and the IWGP champion, Kazuchika Okada. And basically, how this worked is, if Nakamura wins, Nakamura is in the finals. If Okada wins, Okada's in the finals. If Carl Anderson wins his match, now those 2 things happen no matter what Carl Anderson does. But if Carl Anderson wins his match, and for some reason, I can't see how this would happen, but they fight to a no contest. Not a draw, but a no contest. If for some reason they just, I don't know what happens. They're out in the crowd or something. They both start beating the referee's ass. I don't know. Something happens where they decide neither guy's getting a point. Then I guess Carl can win. But I just don't see that happening at all. But mathematically, he is still alive. But let's go to our first match, which is Tomoaki Hanma versus Yujiro Takahashi. Please, please, please let Hanma win. Mao is back, much to my delight. She's not the hottest girl Yujiro has come out with, but she has a certain quality that the others didn't. Early on, Takahashi starts his biting gimmick, which is getting boring. Yujiro is dominating into a deadlift suplex by Hanma. He gets on a rally, which leads to a 2 count. But Yujiro catches Hanma with his corner boot. There's a great sequence of counters that ends with a brainbuster by Hanma. But of course, Hanma misses a top rope kokechi. Fisherman buster by Takahashi, but Hanma kicks out at 1. Torpedo kokechi by Hanma. Takahashi gets in a low blow and the Miami shine. 1, 2, 3. Not bad. Better than most Takahashi matches. 2.5 stars. Not really sure what was the point of having Hanma lose again, though. Okay, our next match. I almost want to talk about this match last, to be honest. Tomohiro Ishii versus Michael Elgin. And I thought, right from the start, this could be special. I actually wrote in my notes, before the match started, this could be special. These 2 guys come out, and they start fighting like the loser is going to get executed or something. Like they're fighting for basically their lives. Elgin, with his patented delayed vertical suplex, as the crowd in Tokyo just pops. Ishii really getting manhandled here early on, which is very surprising. Elgin has a slingshot splash. 1, 2, no. Ishii gets his foot on the ropes. You don't see that much in New Japan. Usually a guy will kick out. But Ishii actually put his foot on the ropes. It's been all Elgin at this point. German suplex. He hits it to the corner padding. Then Elgin hits a senton for the middle rope for another 2 count. Ishii does finally get in something as he hits a beautiful release German suplex. Then hits his own delayed vertical suplex. They start trading a few lariats, but Elgin just hits one that wipes Ishii out. They continue to trade grueling shots. Elgin hits his discus elbow, then does a German suplex, but holds on, and does another, and holds on for a 3rd, but Ishii trying to fight free with elbows. But Michael Elgin, undaunted, completes the trifecta. Bam! German suplex. 1, 2, no! They battle on the apron. Elgin wins this one and hits a Death Valley driver on the apron that Ishii just crumbles to the floor. Then Elgin buckle bombs Ishii into the steel railing. Holy crap. That was insane. And Ishii, who's probably the best seller of New Japan, sold it like he was shot with a machine gun and just left there. Incredible sell job on an insane spot. Apron suplex into a super falcon arrow. Ishii kicks out of that. This is just crazy at this point. I've never seen anyone do this to Ishii, what's being done now. Buckle bomb by Elgin. But then Ishii hits out of nowhere a belly-to-back pile driver. They slowly get up as both of them are down. They start standing center of the ring, continuing to pummel one another. Ishii hits a superplex that Elgin no-sells. So Ishii hits him with a vicious clothesline, which he sells. He covers, but Elgin kicks out at one. Ishii with the sliding lariat. Elgin kicks out at two. Ishii lands a head strike right to the jaw of Elgin that just looks sick. He gets a head start, hits a lariat that sends Elgin into a somersault. One, two, no! Brainbuster. Elgin is out. One, two, three. Holy shit. 4.5 stars. Match of the G1. Maybe match of the year. One of the greatest matches I've ever seen. This is amazing. My report is not even giving it enough credit. This was an incredible. This is as close as I got to giving a match 5 stars. I haven't done it yet. The only match I think I've ever in my life given 5 stars to was the Iron Man match with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. And this was the closest I think I got to that. My opinion, this is match of the year. Forget the Nakamura Ibushi match of Wrestle Kingdom. Match of the year is right here. These Elgin and Ishii. It's a different kind of match. This is not a technical match. Yeah, there was a couple of suplexes, but this was just a smash mouth, unlike anything you've ever seen. One of the sickest, stiffest matches you'll see. Two guys that left it all in the ring, hit each other with everything they could. Just incredible. I could watch this match over and over again. I suggest you guys, if you're not watching all these shows, try to get your hands on this match. It is worth anything. I'm telling you right now, if you can see one match, and this is at this point, I have not seen the finals yet. You can see one match up to this point in the G1. This is the match to see. And it has nothing to do with who wins or loses. Both men were eliminated. This was all about pride. Michael Elgin is a superstar right now. Ishii really needed this victory after losing a few in a row. Get his heat back. But Elgin is not hurt at all by the loss. So just incredible. Our next match, Yuji Nagata versus Hirooki Goto, and how can you even try to follow that last match? You can't. Yuji tries to bring the fire early, but his injured ribs do him in as Goto takes over. Nagata has a quick rally with some, you know, those shoot kicks of his. But Goto regains control with some blows to Yuji's ribs, hits a lariat for a 2 count, over the knee neck breaker, another 2 count. Then Yuji snaps on the seated armbar, but Goto escapes. But now Yuji is just starting to kick the hell out of him. Saito suplex or two. And Goto hits yet another kick to Yuji's injured ribs, which was a theme this entire match. Spinning enziguri, though, by Yuji, followed by his backdrop suplex. 1, 2, 3! Yuji Nagata gets the huge upset as Gato continues to try to give these undercard guys empty wins at the end of the tournament. Don't get me wrong, this was a very good match. 3 stars. Yuji worked his butt off in this match. No doubt about that. As a booking standpoint, I know people try to say, oh, it doesn't matter if it's a tournament. Wins or losses don't matter. Yeah, in WWE, wins or losses don't matter. Wins and losses matter hugely in New Japan. My guess is that you can see Yuji Nagata challenging Goto very soon for the Intercontinental Championship based off of him pinning him here. Our next match, Satoshi Kojima versus Carl, the Machine Gun Anderson of the Bullet Club. So, as I said, Anderson needs some help, some crazy help here, but he's not really out of it. And right at the bell, Carr hits a sick kick, tries a gun stun, but it's blocked. Very spirited affair right from the opening bell. Kojima, you know, he's a guy that could be great or plodding, depending on his mood and health, but he was on fire tonight. Of all the veterans on New Japan's roster, he is the one with the most left in the tank, in my opinion, and he showed in this match. And by the way, that includes Nagata. Lightning chops by Kojima. He then looks for the flying elbow. He hits it, but with his left elbow as he's playing an injury to the right. But Anderson kicks out of that. Anderson starts to take control, gets a couple of two counts. Anderson then goes for the gun stun, but again it's blocked. Then Satoshi, right after, hits the Koji Cutter. So, did anyone else notice that the gun stun and the Koji Cutter are the exact same move? But Carl pins everyone after his, and Kojima never pins anybody after his. Just thought that was funny. Kojima does block a third gun stun attempt. He hits a lariat to the back of Carl's head. Then the big lariato. 1, 2, 3. Unbelievable. Yet another upset. This puts Carl officially out of the running. 3 stars. Very good, but not special. Still not understanding these empty victories for the Thundercard guys. But that was something to forget about, because now we know that either could be Okada or Nakamura, and they are about to face each other one-on-one. So, I think next year we can just look at who's in the final main events to guess who will be in the finals. I'm not sure if it works like this every year, but it's kind of funny how it just so happens that Nakamura and Okada were scheduled to face each other today, and it's for the finals. And the same thing happening with AJ and Tanahashi. Matt starts off very cautiously, both men working on the mat, but of course at some point tempers have to flare, and the fight is on. Okada hits a guardrail hung DDT out on the floor. Okada's just really taking it to Nakamura. Nakamura does hit a kick and falls with a big knee strike, try to turn the tide, but a flapjack by Okada stops Naka's attack. Okada hits a DDT. Then a diving European uppercut for a 2 count. Then he hits the heavy rain to get the near fall. Nakamura does nail a warning kick, followed by a lung blower. Hits the Bomaye off the second rope. 1, 2, no. Nakamura goes for a conventional Bomaye, but Okada catches him with a drop toe hold, turns that into a La Magistra cradle and gets a 2 count. Okada then hits a tombstone out on the floor, sends Naka back in, hits the flying elbow, strikes a pose to the Rainmaker, but Naka counters the Rainmaker for a roundhouse kick. Then after several reverses, Nakamura catches the IWGP champ with a knee right on the jaw. Both men are down now. And then as they both get up, we get a strong style battle with forearm shivers. Axe kick by Nakamura, hits the Bomaye, but Okada kicks out at 2. Nakamura goes for another, but runs right into a spectacular drop kick. Okada catches Nakamura with a clothesline and knocks his mouth guard right out of his mouth. He tries the Rainmaker, but is blocked. He hits a German suplex, which he then transforms into the Rainmaker, but Nakamura counters that into a Kimura. Okada counters that into a tombstone and goes for the Rainmaker, but no, it's countered into a cross arm breaker attempt. Okada's fighting like hell to keep his hands together, but Nakamura transforms it into a triangle choke. Okada's fighting that, and Sensuke realizes that, and he transforms it again into a reverse arm breaker. Okada tries to fight again, but he just can't. He taps. Nakamura has 1 block B, 4 stars, what a match. Oh, this is incredible. These guys really went at it. Maybe Nakamura's best match of the tournament. Overall, this was a great show. In the top 3 for sure. an argument can be made this might have been the best show of the tournament. And now we head to our finals. Nakamura versus Tanahashi, as it should be. If Tanahashi wins, I'm betting the house Okada beats him at the Wrestle Kingdom. But if Nakamura wins, that's a pick'em. But go back to my very first episode of this podcast. I said then, that was back in January, Nakamura will be in the Wrestle Kingdom 10 main event. Well, he wins one more match and he proves me right. I love Tanahashi, but I kind of want to say that I called Nakamura from January. And that's our show. A wild one, to be sure. Again, I cannot talk enough. There was a couple of great matches, but Ishii Elgin, find it, watch it, enjoy it. That's incredible. As for the finals, I've already 3-4 matches into the show already. So I hope for to see that. We'll probably put that up tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, we'll probably get that show up for everybody and wrap up this G1. And as for this show, we're signing off, and I want to thank everyone, as always, for listening to the show. It's my pleasure to let you guys know who don't have New Japan World or just doing. Can't keep up with 19 nights of G1 madness. Believe me, I'm almost G1'd out myself. So that's what I'm here for, to try to let you guys know what's going on. So thank you for listening, and bye-bye.